a wonderful thing to see all those children finally now to go downstairs and continue to worship God and to learn about Him. What a joy to see families coming together to worship Him. This morning, we have the honor and privilege of having our supported missionary, Dr. Ann Livingston, with us. We began supporting her around 1985, and she has been serving the people of Haiti. She arrived in Haiti there in around 1987. She's been serving there as a doctor ever since, and obviously meeting the physical needs of the people there, but most importantly, the spiritual needs of the people of Haiti. Dr. Ann, due to the difficulties and the danger of going back to Haiti, this past year retired, and she is praying and seeking direction for the next steps of her retirement. As she was talking to us last night, she was asking us to pray that the Lord to help her to finish well. And what an honor to have someone like her here with us this morning, who's given her life to taking the gospel to people who needed to hear the gospel, hear about forgiveness of sins. It's a great honor and privilege to know her, to talk to her. I know you all will be blessed as she shares with us this morning. So Dr. Ann, come and share with us.
All I can think of is all for you, Papa. All of this is because of our Father. Pastor James, I have a complaint before I get started. I was not expecting the Haitian national anthem. I didn't see any of the pictures because I was trying not to cry. That song starts out, our anthem starts out, pour le pays, pour les ancêtres. For the country, for the forefathers, for our ancestors. Let us march on united. Haiti is not united. So, the tears. Psalm 136:1 says, "Oh, give thanks." Boy, does that sound like your praise service this morning. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever." I want to thank God for faithful churches and individuals that He has used over the past 40 years. Doesn't that sound like a long time? The past 40 years for medical ministry in northern Haiti. You have been among those fellow laborers, and I want to thank you. Thank you so much for your faithfulness, for your prayers, for your encouragement. I praise God for His goodness and provision, timing and wisdom. It has always been my desire to see my support go to younger missionaries when the time was right. God has provided for that, and I praise Him. I had hoped to work in Haiti until I was at least 75. God knew about broken bones in a broken country. On June the 20th, I was near tears, and I heard my patients and staff cried when they found out I couldn't come back. It's not safe. It's not safe for them if I come back. They'll be targeted. So God knew about that, and yet He still made it possible to have a productive ministry. And thanks to faithful supporters, He made it possible for me to meet all the obligations to my workers, which certainly was a blessing for when the timing happened, because it happened at about the last window that I could have done it in before everything got even worse. I remember in 2019 we thought, it can't get any worse than this. We were so wrong. But God made it possible to meet all those obligations, so they had something to base that. And then He gave wisdom and said, now it's time to think about retirement. So I don't really think about it as retirement as much as I think about it as the end of this chapter in the story that He's writing. Now the good news is, He's told me what the end is. I know how this ends. I just don't know how many chapters are left. So I'm looking to see what he will do in the way of opportunities for service. So for the future, God has put it on my heart to do what I'm doing today, to go back to all my supporting churches, supporting individuals that I can find, and say thank you. Gratitude is one of the things that God gives us that honors him as we thank others for the part they've had, as he's worked in them and worked in us. We have partnered together. So I'm thanking you. There may be some more translation work to do. That gets interesting. The man waits 5 months and then says, oh, by the way, there were a few other things I needed. So when you see the translation ministry mentioned in here, you will know about that. And I have open doors to return to many places, including Dominican Republic. Alas, I do not speak Spanish, but there are many Haitians there, and people hear the gospel best in the language they learned as a small child. So they're trying to learn Spanish so they don't get kicked out. I would like to go in and take the word of God to their hearts. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ Jesus. For all of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ, God is working on us, and he will perform all the work he started in us. He started that ministry in Haiti too. There are people who have been affected by good medical care, but even better, they've been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is not finished in his ministry yet. He will complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. I want you to see what you have been partnering with me for the last 40 years, and how God has made a difference.
For we are laborers together with God. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, for your fellowship in the gospel. I give thanks to God for all of you, remembering your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You also helping together by prayer for us.
I'm Dr. Ann Livingston. For the past 40 years, church members and individuals have partnered with me through prayer, encouragement, and financial support for medical ministry in northern Haiti. The country of Haiti is located in the Caribbean on the island of Hispaniola, which it shares with Dominican Republic. We started the Gospel Baptist Clinic in the Merlin area of San Rafael in a storage building. The first day started with a preaching service, and two people were saved. That service was a vital part of every clinic day, continuing as we moved to larger quarters. Work teams came to build and included men with specialized skills, as well as many willing to do whatever job was needed. Work day started with prayer for the team and Haitian workers. The Americans shared their skills with Haitians, who were eventually able to work without supervision. Americans and Haitians shared the gospel with unsaved workers. Madame Santania Paul carried water for the project and found salvation in the living water that Jesus alone can give. The good, reasonably priced medical care we provided attracted many people. We cared for more than 13,000 new patients in the years that we were in Merlin. Most of those people returned for long-term follow-up of chronic problems, such as high blood pressure, heart disease, and diabetes. We also treated patients with malaria, typhoid fever, parasites, and routine childhood diseases, as well as doing minor surgery. Gerald Prophet was brought to the clinic by his grandmother. They had been to two other clinics for his fever and belly pain, but the treatments did not work. We were able to give him the correct medications for malaria, typhoid fever, and a ruptured appendix, and he recovered. We treated all those who came, including voodoo priests, and those who were not interested in church at all. Often our patients would come with family members, so our sowing of gospel seed spread well beyond Merlin. We were blessed to have godly staff members working in the clinic ministry. They worked together well and offered excellent support as they gained practical skills in caring for patients. The staff members talked to patients about spiritual needs during the day as people waited to be seen, and often did follow-up at their homes. We moved to nearby Wallandry and opened the Grace Baptist Clinic in 2009 in space provided by fellow missionaries. It was a great encouragement to have the staff go to Wallandry when the ministry was started there. We always had lots of people, giving many opportunities to share the gospel as we provided medical care. Many of the health problems were the same, but patients came from further away for the good care at reasonable cost. We were able to do minor surgery, and some not so minor, at the new location, at prices that people could afford. The preaching service before the clinic was always a major part of the ministry. Pastor Telemu continued to faithfully proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the patients at the new location, and both he and the staff talked to patients during the day. We were blessed to see people put their trust in Jesus Christ at the clinic, and to hear of patients saved in local churches later on. We started construction at a nearby location while continuing to use the space loaned to us. I used the knowledge gained from the previous project to design the buildings, and the workers used the skills they had learned and shared them with other Haitians. The new location provided individual workspace for each of the staff and more room for patients. We took care of more than 7,000 new patients over the years we worked in Wallandry. Promi Desir came to the clinic complaining of stiffness and some back pain, and it turned out he had tetanus from a foot wound 2 weeks earlier. He responded to treatment and heard the gospel at the clinic. He accepted an invitation to a local church and soon after put his faith in Jesus Christ. Samber Joseph was an 87-year-old man with heart disease and other problems. I asked him about his relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and he admitted he did not have one. He placed his faith in Christ, and it was a blessing to see this man continue to trust his Lord. We also continued to witness to people like Jean-Claude Prophet and Reynaud Joseph, who came for regular care, but repeatedly said they were thinking about it when asked about trusting Jesus for salvation, a polite way of saying no. The clinic preaching and the scripture literature ministry supported local church ministries. We saw patients reading the booklets as they waited to be seen. People who heard the gospel at the clinic would later talk to a pastor or deacon about their need of salvation. We supported local churches as we cared for pastors and church members. We heard from local pastors and church planters that our ministry helped theirs as they were able to harvest the fruit of the gospel seed sown at the clinic. I was able to minister to children in junior church over the years. They learned about God's Word, we sang songs and learned scripture together, and several came to faith in Christ. One of those was Pastor Telemu's daughter, Fayana, and it was a joy to see her years later, now a wife and new mother, and hear her testimony. Ehud Charnel put his trust in Christ and then earned a Bible for scripture memorization. It was a blessing to see him baptized as a young man. The extra room at the permanent location made it possible for others to hold meetings for children in an open, large space. We had lots of kids come from the neighborhood and hear the gospel. We had the privilege of hosting summer students from Bible colleges in the States. They learned Haitian Creole, worked in the clinic, learned basic medical techniques, and interacted with patients. One of the highlights was the vacation Bible school held in a rural church. That small building was packed, and the kids responded enthusiastically to the stories, singing, and verse memorization. We smiled that our local outreach included the kids of the nearby voodoo priest. The clinic ministry continued in spite of worsening political instability, COVID, and increased gang activity. I was able to send much-needed medications and salaries thanks to the faithful support of God's people, and Haitians were grateful. Many of the patients would not have been able to afford the medications they needed for heart problems, high blood pressure, and diabetes otherwise. Those patients included local pastors, Christians, and unsaved people. When I was unable to return to Haiti due to the unsafe conditions, I worked on the translation of a Bible study book and am now working on its revision. The goal of the authors is to provide a useful tool for Haitians in any location to study God's Word. The Lord of the Harvest has brought together His people in the United States with people in rural northern Haiti through medical missions. Together, we have used medical care to encourage the saints, evangelize the lost, and plant gospel seed that has borne fruit, all for the glory of God. What a joy it will be someday for believers from both places to rejoice before our Heavenly Father's throne and learn of all that He has done.
Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb.
To God alone be all the praise and glory.
Thank you, Dr. Ann, for sharing that with us. I hope you all were blessed and encouraged by that. At this time, we have Miguel Zucchetti coming to be with us. He is originally from Peru. When Miguel was a young man, he found himself addicted to drugs on the streets on numerous occasions for quite a few years. However, eventually he went to a Christian rehabilitation center where he heard the good news of Jesus Christ. He was saved and his life was forever changed. In 1997, he began the children's home ministry there in Bolivia and has been faithfully serving there ever since. He and his wife, Edley, and their daughter, Arena, serve there with many other workers that serve at these children's homes. This morning, as Miguel comes, remember we are considering taking on these children's homes for support in our July business meeting. So please take good notes. And if you have any questions, there will be a time later where you can ask those questions. But I know you'll be blessed as you hear from Miguel. Miguel, come here, brother. All right, let's see. If you went on the high school mission trip this past summer, do you mind to stand so you all can say hello to Miguel? It's the team from the summer. The adults too, yeah. All right. All right. I want them to have a chance to say hi, and you guys make sure you catch up with them afterwards. But this time we're going to watch a video, and then Miguel will come and share afterwards.
Nacer Ministries is a non-profit Christian institution that initiated with the objective of helping and reaching children and adolescents with the gospel in social risk situations such as street, orphanhood, abandonment, and physical and psychological abuse. Nacer Ministries currently has three homes, the Cristo Viene Girls Home, the Cristo Viene Children's Home, and Nacer Rehabilitation Center.
The Cristo Viene Girls Home is a shelter for infants and adolescents from 0 to 18 years old who have suffered sexual violence, abandonment, or are at risk. This is Angela Maria and Francisco, her twin brother. They both arrived at the home at the age of 4 months old after being abandoned by their parents in a public hospital. These little ones arrived at the Cristo Viene Children's Home at 4 months old with severe malnutrition. We have had them with us for 9 months now. By the grace of God, they are beautiful and healthy. Shelter, food, education, psychological assistance, as well as biblical counseling with the purpose of the Word of God restoring their lives, which have been affected by the consequences caused by abuse.
Cristo Viene Children's Home welcomes infants and adolescents from 0 to 18 years old who have suffered physical and emotional abuse and family abandonment. This little boy is called Josue and he lived on the street with his parents who used drugs. He was rescued by authorities and brought to the children's home.
Josue arrived 7 months ago and he is already 2 years old. He lived on the streets with his parents. His parents were drug addicts, and he was traumatized by that. Thank God, the authorities recovered and sent him to the children's home. When he arrived, he was very afraid of men, but thank God, now he is better physically and emotionally.
The children's home is a safe place that allows them to develop in a comprehensive manner and mainly acquire biblical values and principles that will be the support for their lives. The Nazaire Rehabilitation Center is a center that welcomes minors between 12 and 18 years old with behavioral problems, drug use, and problems on the streets. At Centro Nacer, they are provided with a comprehensive program where they can access occupational therapies. They receive biblical counseling, education, and access to technical training. These 26 years of service, the Lord has been changing many lives through the gospel of Christ for His glory, such as in the case of Maria Jesus Aguado Ontiveros, who is studying theology at the University of Nicaragua with the intention of serving the Lord.
I am currently studying theology in Nicaragua. By the grace of God, I have completed my first year already and am going for 3 more.
Another impactful testimony is the life of Ernesto Salvatierra, who studied theology at Calvary Baptist Bible College and was later ordained into the gospel ministry in the United States. He now serves as a missionary in his native country of Bolivia with his family.
Missionary to Bolivia, and I'm so grateful for Ministerios Nacer, what they mean to me and the impact that they have had in my life. I was there for 2.5 years, and I went to Puerto Rico to train for the ministry. And after several years, my family and I, we came back to Bolivia to start churches here in Bolivia.
I've known the Sugetis for over 20 years. My wife and I have been missionaries here in the Caribbean, but God opened the door many years ago for us to go to Bolivia. And we met the Sugetis there, and our hearts were knitted together. And through these years, I have seen their work of faith, feeding hundreds of children every day, clothing them, educating them. And then the work is a labor of love. I don't know if you've ever worked in a home where you're trying to work, number one, with orphans. Number two, the young people there who have found themselves out in the streets of Bolivia. They get addicted to drugs and alcohol. not intentionally just trying to survive in the country where they live.
And through the years, we have seen many of these young people come to know Christ. But not only have they come to know Christ, but they've surrendered their life to Him. Now then, we've been able to see preachers. Now they're serving the Lord on the mission field. One of the graduates is actually teaching now here in our Bible college. Your investment in them is helping fulfill the Great Commission. That is, that we evangelize. God uses different ways and different means to get the gospel. I'm grateful that the Lord has allowed me to be a part of this ministry in prayer and finances. And I would ask you to consider supporting them as a monthly ministry that they can still continue to reach young people there in the country where they live.
In these 2.5 decades of existence of Nazaire Ministries, we have seen the beneficent hand of God working with His provision, since it is a ministry of faith. And we have seen God using different servants to make this work endure. Since 2017, Project 14 has become a fundamental supporter for the subsistence of the homes. Its economic contribution has blessed us greatly.
You all are always in my heart.
I'm Pastor Tom Maurer, and I've been involved with the homes since 2017. Our church supports them monthly, and I have had the privilege of traveling down there about 12 times now, I believe, since 2017, being able to disciple and help and, of course, support the kids, and more importantly, Brother Miguel and Sister Edley. I love what the Lord is doing with them there in Santa Cruz, Bolivia. One of the reasons I wanted to get involved with the homes is because I saw the hand of God at work, and I wanted to be involved in what God is already being involved in. So we are proud and encourage you to be a part of the homes and all of the things that God is doing, not just now, but what He's going to do with the next generation as leaders are brought up and trained and discipled and sent out into various parts of the world. Encourage you to be involved. God bless you.
Good morning.
Muy buenos días. Good morning, yeah.
Es todo mi inglés.
That's all my English, I know.
Estoy muy agradecido a la iglesia, al pastor, a los pastores, a los líderes, por estar aquí.
I'm very thankful to the pastors and leaders of the church and all of you folks for allowing us to be here today.
Siempre hay una pregunta.
There's always questions.
¿Cómo me involucré en el ministerio de hogares de niños?
How did I get involved in the home for children?
Y la respuesta es muy fácil. Voy a contar parte de mi testimonio.
The answer is very simple, and I'm going to give you part of my testimony.
Vengo de una familia normal, papá, mamá, cuatro hermanos.
I had a normal family, mother, dad, and four brothers and sisters.
Y empecé a consumir cigarros a los 13 años.
I started smoking cigarettes when I was 13.
Al poco tiempo empecé a consumir alcohol.
In a little bit of time, I started drinking alcohol.
Eso se convirtió en un juego para mí.
This was a big step for me.
Y después de un tiempo empecé a consumir cocaína.
After a little bit of time, I started taking cocaine.
Era para mí muy divertido.
It seemed fun.
Porque no era descubierto por nadie. Nadie sabía que estaba consumiendo eso.
Nobody knew what I was doing, and it seemed fun.
Y terminé el colegio.
I finished high school.
Ingresé a la universidad.
Started the university.
Pero no iba a la universidad a estudiar, sino iba a la universidad a consumir.
I didn't go to the university to study. I went there to consume and have fun.
Y bueno, mi familia se dio cuenta, mis padres se dieron cuenta de que yo estaba consumiendo drogas.
About this time, my family realized I was taking drugs.
Y ellos me quisieron ayudar.
They wanted to send me a place to get help.
Y me dijeron que tenía que ingresar a una clínica especializada en drogadictos.
They told me I need to go to a special clinic where I could get help for my addiction.
En el fondo quería cambiar.
In the end, I really wanted to change.
Ingresé a la clínica.
I entered into the clinic for help.
Estuve 6 meses.
I was there 6 months.
Después de 6 meses, salí a mi casa.
After 6 months, I left to go home.
Y después de 2 semanas,
after 2 weeks,
empecé a consumir nuevamente cocaína.
I started taking drugs, cocaine again.
Y cada vez era más fuerte.
And every time it got worse and worse.
Mis padres me dijeron que no podían hacer nada por mí.
My parents told me there's nothing we can do for you.
Y me dijeron que me tenía que retirar de la casa.
They told me I need to leave the house and get out.
Me fui muy enojado.
I left really, really mad.
Y seguía ya no solamente consumía, sino también robaba.
Now, I didn't just take drugs, I started robbing people, stealing so I could have drugs.
Y todo lo que había empezado como un juego terminó destruyendo parte de mi vida.
Everything that started out as a game, as fun, now was destroying my life completely.
Y tomé la decisión de regresar nuevamente a la clínica.
So I came to a point in my life I decided to go back to the clinic one more time.
Los doctores llamaron a mi papá.
The doctors called my parents.
Y dijeron que había una buena oportunidad porque yo había tomado la decisión de regresar a la clínica.
And the doctors told my parents this was a good decision I had made and I was back at the clinic.
Estuve 6 meses más.
I stayed there for 6 more months.
Regresé a casa.
Went back home to my house.
Todos estábamos felices.
Everybody there was happy.
Pero a las 2 semanas.
But after 2 weeks.
Regresé nuevamente a consumir cocaína.
I went back to taking cocaine.
No podía hacer nada más.
I couldn't do anything.
Mi vida estaba pegada, ligada a la cocaína.
My life was completely wrapped up in cocaine.
Me fui a la calle.
I left my home and went to the streets.
Y empecé a consumir cantidades de cocaína para ver si podía morir con una sobredosis.
I started taking so much cocaine that it could have killed me.
Pero no pasaba nada.
But nothing happened.
Y seguía consumiendo y robando.
I kept taking drugs and I kept robbing so I could take drugs.
Una noche estaba robando.
In the evenings, in the night, I would steal.
Había obtenido mucho dinero.
And I was able to get much, much money.
Y me fui a un hotel.
I went to a hotel.
Y había una sensación muy fuerte dentro de mí que tenía que ir a mi casa.
And all this time there was this longing in my heart to go back to my home.
Al día siguiente fui a la casa de mis padres.
Next day I decided to go back to the house of my parents.
Me abrieron la puerta y me dijeron que mi papá no estaba en casa, que se había ido a la casa de mi hermano.
When I got there, my father was not there. He had gone to visit my sister.
Y fui a la casa de mi hermano.
Excuse me, it was my brother. I went to visit my brother.
Y toqué la puerta.
I knocked on the door.
Mi hermano abrió la puerta.
My brother opened the door.
Y me preguntó, ¿dónde has estado?
My brother asked, "Where have you been?"
Llegaste muy tarde.
You were very late getting here.
Papá murió anoche.
Our father died last night.
Eso golpeó mucho mi corazón.
This really struck my heart.
Pasó un tiempo y volví a regresar a la calle.
Passed some time and I went back to the streets.
Quería morir.
I wanted to die.
Tomé la decisión.
I made a decision.
Porque había escuchado que había un centro.
I had heard there was one saint.
Que había un centro cristiano para drogadictos.
I heard there was one centro, one place of Christianity that could help.
Fui a ese centro.
I went to the center for help.
Y escuché en el mensaje.
And I heard a message.
2 Corintios 5:17.
2 Corinthians
5:17.
5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Yo quería ser esa nueva criatura.
I wanted this to happen in my life.
Y recibí al Señor Jesucristo como mi Salvador.
I received Jesus as my personal Savior and Lord.
Sé que soy una nueva criatura en Cristo.
Now, I was a real Christian in Jesus Christ.
Pero en ese momento empezaba la lucha.
But now there started a fight within me.
Mi cuerpo decía que tenía que ir a la calle.
My body wanted to go back to the streets.
A conseguir consumiendo drogas.
And continue to consume drugs and rob.
Pero a medida que iba escuchando la palabra de Dios,
but after hearing the word of God,
me iba afirmando más en las cosas de Dios.
I wanted to follow and do the things of God.
Hasta que escuché el Salmo 40.
After I heard in Psalm 40.
Los tres primeros versículos.
I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry, and brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet on a rock, and establish my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Escuché esa palabra y yo me apropiaba de la palabra. La tomaba parte de mi vida.
I heard this. And I made it part of my life. I made it the thrust of my life.
Yo quería cambiar, pero no sabía cómo hacerlo.
I wanted to change, but I didn't know how to do it.
Hasta que encontré al Señor y yo dije, Él es el camino y la verdad y la vida.
Up to the point where I finally heard the truth, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Y yo empecé a tener esa esperanza de caminar con Él.
Now I have a hope to walk with Him.
Y cuando conocía más de la palabra de Dios, más me afirmaba en el Señor.
And the more I understood the word of God, the more it affirmed my faith in Jesus Christ.
Y las luchas se iban alejando, el pensar en la calle se iba alejando.
And those things of the world and the street that called me back, they started drifting away and getting further and further in my path.
Y estoy muy agradecido a Dios porque me dio esta oportunidad.
I'm just so thankful to God that He's given me this opportunity.
Hay tantas cosas que podría decir.
There's so many things I'd love to share.
Pero lo único que le puedo decir es gracias Dios por morir en la cruz.
The only thing I can say, the only thing that really matters, is thank you Jesus for dying for me on the cross.
Y pasó el tiempo, ya estaba restaurado.
Some time passed and over time things were restored in my life.
Y tenía que tomar una decisión.
I had to make a decision.
¿Cuál era, de regresar a la vida normal o servir al Señor?
Am I going back to just a normal life or am I going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ?
Hasta que escuché el mensaje de Lucas 17.
After, up to the point where I heard this message in Luke chapter 17, the 10 lepers that were healed, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go shew yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice and glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And are not found returned giving glory to God and save this stranger? And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole.
Cuando escuché ese mensaje, yo quería ser esa persona.
When I heard this message, I decided to be that one person.
Quería servir al Señor, darle las gracias a Dios.
I want to serve God and I want to give glory to God and praise Him.
Porque sabía que Él había metido su mano al basurero del mundo y me había sacado de ahí.
Because I knew that I had stuck my hand into the garbage and the junk of the world.
Y me había dado una nueva vida.
And he gave me a brand new life.
Y eso todo se lo debía a Dios.
And this is all that I wanted to do, is serve God.
No pude cambiar con la medicina, no pude cambiar con los doctores.
I couldn't change with medicine, as the doctors couldn't prescribe anything to help me.
Y el único que me pudo cambiar es el Señor.
But the only thing that could help me and change my life was Jesus Christ.
Así que tomé la decisión de seguir al Señor.
So I decided to follow Jesus and serve Him.
Por eso estoy aquí.
Well, that's why I'm here today.
Dándole gloria a Dios y gracias a Dios.
I'm giving glory to God and thanking God for what He's done.
Y yo quería ayudar a muchas personas que tenían el mismo problema de adicciones a las drogas.
I want to help people that have the same problem I had with drug and addictions.
Que no sufrieran como yo sufrí.
And they're suffering as I suffered.
Así que, pero había un problema. Todavía seguía mi corazón. Tenía al Señor Jesucristo, pero tenía mi corazón todavía amargado.
So, continued with the problem. I wanted to follow God. I wanted to follow Jesus Christ, but I have a problem, a hard heart.
Y yo le dije, Señor, si realmente tú me dices lo que quiso decir mi padre esa noche que murió, realmente estoy seguro de que te voy a seguir por el resto de mi vida.
I determined at that point in my life, and I told God and made Him a promise, I will serve you with the rest of my life to give thanks for what you've done for me.
Mis oraciones eran esas, por favor, dime, Señor, qué es lo que me quiso decir mi padre. Lo condicionaba a Dios.
So I asked God, show me what you would have me to do. Give me a clear direction.
Y una iglesia local invitó a un grupo de hombres a pasar el Día de la Madre.
So one local church invited a group of men to spend Mother's Day with them.
Y había un drama.
And there was a drama.
Entonces que había una madre que tenía tres hijos.
And there was a mother that had three children.
Sus dos hijas estaban bien, pero su hijo era alcohólico.
Two of them were fine, but one was an alcoholic.
Y eso se reflejaba en mi vida.
And this was just like shining a light on my life.
Y la madre murió.
The mother died.
Y dejó una carta para su hijo.
And left a note for her son.
Y en la carta decía, no importa lo que hagas, no importa lo que hayas hecho.
And in the note it said, it doesn't matter what you do or what you've done.
Lo único que me importa es que eres mi hijo y te amo.
The only thing that really matters to me is that you are my son and I love you.
Eso es lo que me quiso decir mi padre.
And this is what I wanted to do for my father.
Y cuando escuchó todo eso,
when I heard all of this,
no tenía opción.
I didn't have an option.
Tenía que seguir al Señor.
I've got to follow Jesus Christ.
Y estoy aquí.
And that's why I'm here.
Llegué a Bolivia soltero.
I serve in Bolivia as a single.
Y el Señor me bendijo con una gran esposa.
But I thank God that He's given me a beautiful wife.
De un gran corazón.
With a great big heart.
Y está conmigo en el ministerio.
And she's with me in the ministry.
Ella es la jefa, sí. Ella es la jefa.
And she's the best part of it all.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Que esos aplausos.
This applause.
Sean para la gloria de Dios.
It's for the glory of God.
Nosotros solamente somos instrumentos.
We just serve the Lord, that's all.
Gracias, iglesia.
Thank you, church.
Gracias, hermanos.
Thank you, people.
Algún día estaremos en el cielo.
One day we'll be in heaven together.
Comunicándonos a través del español.
And we'll be speaking Spanish.
Amen. This morning our God has been glorified, hasn't He? So thankful for the soul after soul after soul that was saved there in Haiti through the work of Dr. Ann. Thankful for Miguel and for Edley, for their heart for those children in Bolivia. I told Pastor Maurer I'm going to hate him forever. I can't talk about Bolivia without crying now. Precious kids that they work with day in and day out. I hope your heart has been blessed, has been encouraged. As we wrap up this morning, I pray that you would continue to pray for the people of Haiti. I'd encourage you to intentionally go and read up about them in the news. Our brothers and sisters in Christ in Haiti are going through some very, very tough times. It's hard, very difficult there. Pray that they would trust in the Lord through this time. Pray for God to bring peace and safety back to that country, to bring a sense of order back to that country, and that the church would be a good witness and testimony during this time. And continue to pray that the Lord will continue to bless Miguel and Edley as they continue to serve there. And there are many workers who work tirelessly with these kids day in and day out, even sometimes being a few months behind and being paid, and they continue to stay there and to love those kids. So continue to pray for them and their ministry. And at the end of the day, we can praise God for all these souls that are saved. It kind of brings things back into perspective this morning. And as he shared there from Luke chapter 17 about the the one leper that came back and glorified God and fell down at his fell down on his face, glorifying God. That's a picture of what we should be doing with our lives day in and day out. Just loving God, just worshiping Him, praising Him, thanking Him for all the things that He does for us. Through the good times, through the bad, He is a good and faithful God. And we are so thankful for His love and mercy that He's shown towards us. At this time, Paul and the praise band will come and lead us in a closing song of worship. As they do, if the Lord spoke to your heart, I encourage you. Jim's up here. I'll be up here. Pastor Dan will be up here. If you need to pray or talk to anyone, please do so.